Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning on this smoky Saturday morning up here in Fort Collins. I'll tell you what, the sky is blotted out up here, so we're hoping that hoping things clear out here soon, and we're going to get some updates on how the fire is affecting some of the local opportunities here, too, in just a minute. Hopefully you're all staying safe. Any of you listening to this or in the evacuation areas, our thoughts are with you, and hopefully we get through this okay and move on. So we're looking forward to that. In the long term, these fires are going to rejuvenate our woods. We're going to get rid of a lot of beetle kill, but that doesn't minimize what people are going through right now and people facing losses and disruption of their life. We have a short show for you today because of college football. We did put that up on our Facebook Facebook page. If you follow us on Facebook at Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, we try to keep you up to date on not only what's going on in the show, but if we have any changes. Sometimes we do a schedule change because of football. But we try to keep you up to date, and a lot of the information you get on the show ends up on our Facebook page. And follow us on our YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. We have a lot of great local stuff coming up there, including ice fishing. And speaking of ice fishing, next week, Steve Panaz is going to join us and talk about a special ice fishing program that they're going to do on Facebook that's going to go on for several weeks. So stay tuned for that. Let's go right to the phones now. And joining us, he's been a fill-in host for years. He's a frequent contributor. You hear him on the Tightline Outdoors segment a lot. You hear him on the Fishful Thinker segment. And that's Ronnie Castellani. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, Terry. How you doing this morning?
Doing well. And the reason I said Tightline, we just got a word from Nate that I guess Spinny Mountain has closed. So I want to tell people if they're heading over there that you might want to check that first. Looks like they've closed that for the year. And I know you want to talk about taking advantage of this low water to improve your fishing year-round. But I think you went out and got some reports about what's happening here locally with the fires. Is that right?
Yeah, Terry. Let's go over that stuff real quick. I talked to Mark Coughlin this morning up at Larimer County, and this is the information he relayed to me this morning. As far as closures go, Carter Lake is closed completely. There's no access to Carter right now. Flatiron Reservoir and Pinewood Reservoir are both closed as well in that same area. So if you were thinking about going to that area to go fishing or hiking, that is all completely closed. As far as Horsetooth Reservoir, Horsetooth Reservoir is open for boating. There is access right now in South Bay and along the east side of the reservoir. That area of the park is open, and you can access that. However, the west side of the park is closed. Lorrie State Park on the west side is completely closed. And like Horsetooth Mountain Park and all that kind of area there, all of that is closed. So there's no access there. As far as the boating situation at Horsetooth, they just went on to their fall hours. So the boat ramp is going to be open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's just the South Bay ramp that's open. And the other thing to note is that the water level is getting pretty low up there on those ramps. It looks like either today or tomorrow they're going to be switching to the swim beach ramp. The other ramps are going to be closed. One thing to note about that swim beach ramp, if you've never been up there and utilized that ramp, Terry, one, you've got to be pretty good at backing your trailer down that ramp. That's not an easy ramp to get up and down on. And so if you struggle to back a trailer, you're going to want to just kind of stay away from Horsetooth. The other thing is that with the low water levels, large boats can be difficult to get on and off the trailers as well, Terry.
So, yeah, it sounds like there's, really plan ahead with all these things. And, I imagine because of the closures on the canyons and the roads, we've got no fishing on the Poudre River virtually and the Big Thompson also. Is Boyd doing okay? Have you been over there lately?
Yeah, I was at Boyd not too long ago. And, Boyd, the water level's pretty good still. It's dropped a little bit. but there is plenty of water on the ramp there. Fishing has been kind of hit or miss, which is sort of, you know, classic for this time of year, Terry. You can get there one day and really, you know, catch them good, but you get there the next day and you can struggle. We were out and we saw water temperatures in the low 60s, upper 50s, and that's the same thing we were seeing on Horsetooth yesterday, Terry. So yeah, fishing's definitely good there. A lot of the weeds and the trees and everything are out of the water on Boyd. However, there is quite a bit of the submerged vegetation still left in the lake. And when we were on the lake, we just kind of ran around and targeted all that submerged vegetation, and we were catching largemouth doing that, Terry.
Do you have it? Have you heard how long they intend to keep the ramps open at Boyd?
Usually they go through November, Terry, so I haven't heard any difference, but the usual MO is end of November at that lake.
All right. So anyway, we're getting to a point in time because water levels are dropping, weather's changing, activity's dropping, that you need to really check before you go somewhere, and especially if you're going to go try to launch a boat. Now, if you're going shore fishing, it's a little different. There's some access. Just make sure you can get to the areas because of the fires or closed parks. But you take advantage of being on shore this time of the year, Ronnie, to go out and do your prep work for fishing all year long, don't you?
Absolutely, Terry. And, you know, that's kind of an advantage we have here in this state, is that we do fish a lot of reservoirs and our water levels do fluctuate. And, you know, you hear people complain about the water levels going low. I personally enjoy it when the water drops out of our lakes, as long as we can still access them, because it really gives me an opportunity to get out there and study the structure on a particular body of water. So a lake like Horsetooth, which is, you know, right now, let's say 50 to 60 feet low, there's a lot of the structure that you'd be fishing, you know, throughout the entire year has popped up out of the water right now. So it gives an angler an opportunity to get out there, visually kind of study that stuff, get out if you can and kind of walk and utilize your phone and utilize a handheld GPS to drop some waypoints, drop some trails, maybe take some pictures, things like that. You know, to give you an example, you know, it had been probably 6 years or so since Horsetooth had gotten this low, Terry. You know,
that... We lost you there, Ronnie. You okay? You still there? You're cutting out on us, Ronnie. I can't hear you. Well, hopefully, can we try to get a better connection with Ronnie there yet?
Hey, Terry, it's Kyle. Yeah, he disconnected, so let me reconnect him real quick, okay?
All right. Yep, we'll try to get Ronnie back. Yeah, we lost Ronnie. And Ronnie was talking about going along the shorelines and marking places that haven't been out of the water for a long time. You know, before we had the mapping that we have on our GPS units now, and before we had, we used just paper maps. And I used to actually walk reservoirs like Horsetooth, and I would take pictures. We didn't have phones to take pictures back in like the 90s or, you know, during some of these major drawdowns. And I would take pictures and note the GPS coordinates from a handheld GPS. And then I would actually put those pictures right on a map, a paper map. I would clip them or staple them to a paper map. And I'd be able to pull into an area and really, really visualize what was going on in that area. So you pull into an area, you look at it with your depth finder, and you get an idea, but you're still looking from above the water. And even with the mapping features we have now, and, you know, is Ronnie back?
I'm here, yes. Terry.
All right, Ronnie, come on. I was just kind of explaining what you're going, but go ahead. Sorry, we had a little glitch there. We lost you.
No problem, Terry. Yeah, just like you were mentioning, that's basically what I've been doing, you know, for years and years. And, you know, this year, for example, Terry, I started fishing waypoints that I hadn't really fished in, you know, since probably 2013, 2014. These are waypoints that I had put down when the lake had dropped another 20, 25 feet from where it is right now, Terry. And those are the waypoints that have really paid the bills for me this year, Terry, as the waters drop back down. Those are the ones that have been at the right depth. So, you know, taking advantage of the low water, understanding what's going on out there, marking the rock piles, marking the humps, marking the transitions from rock to gravel, you know, that kind of a thing, or the transitions from the gravel to the dirt. All of those things are very, very important this time of year, Terry. And being able to mark that stuff is really an advantage that we have here in the state as far as understanding these reservoirs and learning a body of water.
Oh, you're absolutely right, because, you know, there's something to be said about the spot on the spot. And a lot of times we'll pull up, we'll use our mapping on our sonar, we'll use our GPS, and we'll pull into areas where we know there's a break line or even a rock pile that we know, but maybe one we don't know that we've gone out and looked at before. And we try to visualize it in our mind. If we drive over it with a boat, a lot of times we'll spook the fish. So you want to stay off of it so you can cast to it without even getting on top of it. But you're still not sure of the shape of it. Well, if you've gone out, taken a picture that you can pull up on your phone and look at that and study it, you're going to see those little spots that are going to be the more high percentage spots than at any other time. Or you're going to see that ditch that comes up that you might miss going over with your sonar because your cone is too wide, that there's that little ditch that a fish might kind of tuck down into. It's just it's amazing the detail you can find and how it affects your fishing, Ronnie.
Yeah, it really is, Terry. And just like you're saying, the spot on spot, that's kind of an old fishing term there. That's paid the bills a lot of times for me, Terry, where I pulled into an area that other guys have been on or there's other boats fishing. And just the fact that I understand, you know, just the small nuances of what's going on at the water, I'm able to really kind of, you know, pick apart those areas and get the fish and be a little bit more precise. And modern technology definitely makes that a lot easier, the side scan, the down scan, the front imaging and all that kind of stuff. But visually seeing it with your eyeballs, getting out and walking if you can, Terry, getting out and walking. I can tell you that, you know, from a boat, like on a lake like Horsetooth, if you're visually looking at the shoreline and looking at those rocks from a distance, you know, if you're 100 yards away from them, it's tough to tell, you know, how big that stuff is. But if you get out and you walk up to it, that rock that from a distance maybe only looked like, you know, it was a few feet, you get up next to it and you realize this thing's the size of a SUV, you know, it's a big old boulder that's sitting here, that kind of a thing. So, you know, spend some time, put in the work, and it'll definitely pay you off in the long run as far as being a better angler.
Well, you know, and I don't want to limit people to just being in a boat, too. These techniques are great for the shorebound anglers because, right, a lot of times you walk along the shore and you have no idea where the deeper water is. When you're casting out from shore, are there any rock piles? Are there any humps? Are there any drop-offs? Now's a great time to go to some of the even small ponds and lakes that you fish and mark those features and kind of get an idea from the shore where they are. And make some notes on them, because now when you go walk the shore when that lake is full of water, you're going to know, hey, there's a hole right off here where a bass might drop into, or I've got a drop off here that the fish are going to move up against, or I can see where bait would hold over here. Just makes a world of difference. Ronnie, before I let you go, I know you've been playing around making some lures. I think you call them the Ronnie Darter. They're kind of like a Johnny Darter and like a jigging wrap. That presentation has really been working the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has, Terry. And, you know, just what you were talking about before that, as far as understanding shore access, that really comes into play at a lake like Horsetooth, for example, all winter long. You know, once the lake closed to boating, last year and the year before, we did a lot of fishing, you know, in the middle of winter where we were getting out and we were throwing those darter-style baits from the bank. However, you know, they're very, very snaggy presentations, Terry, and unless you really know what you're casting at and where you're casting into, you're going to snag those, and you're going to lose them a lot, and you're going to get frustrated. So, you know, last year the water was real, real high. This year with the water being down 60 feet, I can visually see the areas I was standing and see where I was casting to and understand why I was getting snagged when I was casting at this angle and why I wasn't getting snagged when I was casting at the other angle. So, you know, paying attention to that, seeing where the steep banks are, seeing where those transitions kind of funnel off into the lake, where it turns to rock and then where it turns to dirt. What we were doing last year, what we'll be doing this winter, is we'll be standing on the real steep banks, making real long casts out,
allowing those lures to fall, you know, 50, 60 feet of water onto the gravel, onto the dirt, working them maybe a third of the way back to the shore, and then reeling them in once we get to the boulders, once we get to the rocks. Because if you try to work them through that stuff, you're just going to snag them. So right now, you know, you can study that. You can see all that. You can kind of plan ahead, Terry, just like you were talking about, and be able to do that from the shore as well.
All right, Ronnie, we are out of time, but if you, another point, if you get out to these spots first, you might find all those lures Ronnie lost last time. Ronnie, we got to go. If people want to get a hold of you, how would they do it?
You can get a hold of me, Ronnie Official Thinker. You can find me, Ronnie Castiglione, on Facebook. We're starting to book trips for next year, and, you know, give me a shout. Let's get you out on the lake.
All right, my friend, we'll talk to you again very soon. Ronnie Castiglione,
right,
from Fishful Thinker. You bet, from Fishful Thinker. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to take you to Bar Lake and see what's going on there on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.